Friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, four words had such incredible value in expression of faith. I was headed down to St. Mary's. They were bringing Ruth in, and things weren't good. She had been struggling with cancer, and it did appear that this might be her last run. Her husband, John, always by her side, gave expressions of faith, but you could see in the mirror of his face that to lose her was his life. And yet, as we went into those hours of difficulty, there was a sense of otherworldliness, of peace, of power. Ruth was dying. You could see in her body that it was giving up. You could sense in the room that the doctors and the nurses couldn't stop something very inevitable. And as the difficulties arose, it was still not her last day, but it was a day I will never forget. Because she sat forward as all of the nurses were about to leave the room, and she said, "His will be done." A simple four words, but a pure expression of love for God. And I remember after putting my arm around John, and we were literally frightened, in a sense, in the physical sense, hopeless that anything could change, helpless to deal with her agony, and yet not, because of the prayer and the power, we spoke the Lord's Prayer together with her, and all of us were better. But as I left the parking lot, after listening to how thankful she still was, thankful to the nurses, thankful to the nurses' aides, thankful to the doctors, and doubly appreciative for me as pastor to come and give her the security and the word. 20 years later, I still remember. I left that parking lot asking the question, how do you get a faith like that? How do you get the fruits that God wants to give of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace, the power of deep roots? Now, something happened this week that our oldest, most durable members that have been here a long time would recognize right away. Some of you maybe didn't even notice that the willow was cut down. That willow has been here all of my 22 years, and on Thursday night, a couple of the charter members said they thought it was here before the building, but they're not sure. Deep roots. Can you imagine the size of the roots under the ground out there when that willow is a bigger base? I think it's bigger than if you... it was almost 6 foot through. And all of the water that was generated up... Willows are sappy. They're full of fluid. Wow, what a tree. And the natural course of life, it was difficult to see that it began to drop its branches. We're a little bit nervous about kids. Branches usually don't regard kids very easily, or cars, and so down came the tree. It was Ruth's last time on earth. But Ruth had roots. Her husband brought it to the hospital, and then at the conclusion when we were preparing for the funeral, it was her Bible app. But you can guess, 20 years ago, they didn't have apps. Her Bible app was a book, a well-worn leather Bible that was written in and highlighted in, that was fingered and thought over, prayed over. She spent time in God's Word, like, massively. And I hope that you can learn that there is something about the way God waters you individually from Ruth. God and His Word were in mind and thought through the habit of the person who has been placed near the stream of water. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I want you to hear today a different level, a level that's just you. In the first of these three previous We talked about gathering seeds, how God has planted that in your life through the waters of baptism, how God has come near you. You gain a taproot that goes down deep in the vertical relationship with God. And then last week we talked about horizontal roots, the importance of church, community. People help and encourage one another. You need the church. You need to be the church. And today, it's far more personal. How do you grow? How do you get a faith like that? You need to be well-watered personally, individually, by the Word of God. Here it is. You need the root, not the group, so much as the root of faith that the Holy Spirit can give. It is daily connection to the Word of God. A devotional life, some will say. Others will say that it's consistent quiet time for meditation and reflection. Now, I know when I say this, it isn't new to most of our members. You've heard me say this countless times. You've probably said this on the way home from church. Pastor, said it again. Get in the Word. And you know, I've tried. I went to Genesis. I read it. It was pretty exciting. I got all the way through Genesis. What a great story about Joseph and Abraham. And wow. Then I got into Exodus and it got a little bit hairy. The fight between Pharaoh and God and Moses and the people in the wilderness. Boy, what kind of friends were they to God? And then I got to Leviticus and I got lost. That was it, right? Three books out of 66. And it is so easy to give up on a devotional life when you need it constantly. Today, we're going to look at what it means to have that, how to get that, but also why. You know, there's many things you could do with your time. You could put hours and hours on Facebook, run the tires right off of the electronic car, right? You could spend a lot of time pursuing happiness and pleasure, a perfect body in the gymnasium. But something your heart is longing for, thirsting for, is the daily interaction with the Word. How do I know that? Because David, a man of the Word, started that way with Psalm 1. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Not just law, but the whole Word of God. That's the way the Hebrew uses that term. His delight. And I'm going to encourage you to really get a little bit beyond the joyful moments that the world will offer. Yeah, you can watch a cartoon program with little yellow minions and have a good time and laugh over, whether it's despicable or not. But you can spend time also in self-medication, going to the bottle again, looking for something in social media that you'll never find. It is to delight in the law of the Lord. Now the word delight in the Hebrew could take me 25 minutes to describe, but I will shorten because I want you to at least catch the essence. To delight means to be glad, to feel fortunate, to have a whole sense of wellness and good being. What it means is what happens to plants when they soak in water. When you put the water on and it isn't just on their leaves, but it goes deep down and they grow wildly. Isn't it amazing how fast a kid can grow during summer? How fast the plants grow during summer? Wow. And the question then in this word is, what do you long for? What do you desire? Here's the word. It actually means savor the flavor for a person. Soak in the water is more for plants. But savor the flavor? Well, it's nutrition, isn't it? And the reason I say that is because it actually is another text using this word, hagah. Hagah in the Hebrew is to chew on it. I like to add a little bit more, savor the flavor. Have you ever seen a doggy, your doggy, take that bone and go in the corner and just growl over how good it is and just linger on that bone for a long time? Dogs don't purr, but if you could call it purring, that's what they do. And I don't mean it to be gruesome, but that's how the word is used in a passage of Scripture with a lion. A lion after a kill haggas its meal. It just lingers over and delights making sounds that emanate from its body of goodness. Now, many years ago, I took some exploration of wine. Yes, I was old enough. I was past 21. And I wanted to know, well, what makes this such a big deal? So I actually went and learned from a vintner what you were supposed to do. I learned how you're supposed to pour the wine into the glass, swirl it around, and pour it out, and then smell it. I never did that in my life. I still don't do it. But for him, it was how you got the aroma, you got ready, you got the taste buds active. And then, instead of just the taste buds on the back of the throat, he said you have to swirl it around. Move it around. God actually gave you more taste buds than you realize. And it was amazing. He could tell, not me, but he could tell there was cinnamon. Oh, there was chocolate. There's honey in here. I'm like, whoa. You have really good taste buds. And I learned that you can really haga the Word of God like this. I want you to understand it with a couple of tips. Here's the how. I'm going to use five I words. First, implore. Implore the Holy Spirit to give you something in the Word of God. It's praying. Preparing your heart by asking the Spirit for insight. He wants to give it to you. He is like Jesus arriving here. He could sit right not down next to you, Caleb. He's right there in that front seat. And if Jesus came and you looked over in the robe and the beard and you're like, he looks a lot like Jesus, and you go, you're thinking in your mind, Jesus, and he nods and he looks at you. Then he leans over and he says, I've got something very special to tell you personally at the end of the service, but listen to Pastor Wagner preach. Okay. You would be on the edge of your chair waiting for what Jesus had to say. Isn't that what you do when you ask him to fill you with what is Jesus' word? Then idle in it. Idle means to spend time. Oh, so often our devotional thing is like checking a box. I did it. How fast can you read a paragraph? Now, maybe you select 10 minutes of devotional time or 20 or a half hour. But if all you do is read it and then you begin your mind to be full of other concerns, you haven't idled into the depth of the Word of God. You haven't soaked in it or savored the flavor. Read it again. Pray about it. Think about the individual words. And then do the third thing. If you're really idling, investigate. Start tearing the text apart. Have you ever realized how often your meditation or personal devotion is for you personally? This is the Word of God, not for someone else. Why is this Word on your desk, in your heart, in your mind, for you today? Time and time again, I've had people say, well, I just read that. Or I was in the devotions, and it said this, and they use that for their witness, for their encouragement. You see, when you're in the Word of God, personally, it begins to show, I delight in another world. I delight in the Lord's world. Fourth, inquire. So you've implored, you've idled, you've investigated. Inquire is sort of more like interrogation, maybe from a 1920s mystery novel. It's the detective with the bare light above a chair. What does it say to me? What does it mean? And then you go and ask a teacher, a pastor, a friend, someone with gray hair that's your role model of faith, and you say, have you dealt with this passage? What do you think it means? So then, finally, you show an inclination or you desire an inclination, which is habit. I want to make this regular. To chew first, to savor the flavor, to spend the time to really get what God is saying to me, and not after everything else is done, but a first order of high priority. That's the how. But why? Well, so many people want to know how to study the Word of God because they think they'll impress God. If I'm in the Bible all the time, God will love me more. God will listen to me more. God will do maybe what I want Him to do. That's not the kind of God that's presented in Scripture. He already has a desire for you. It isn't, in fact, that you're trying to get your thoughts into His head, but that He is trying to get into your heart. And so when you're trying to impress God by going to church a lot or praying a lot or reading the Bible, you're in the wrong place. It is because you desire depth. It is because of the great exchange that the perfect life, the only perfect life, the life of God's own Son that was on the same wavelength has been given to you. And He has taken your distraction, your excuses, all the times you should have been closer and you weren't. He has taken all that and cleansed it from you. What an amazing God we have, who in Christ Jesus has, remember that first sermon when I said, He is the seed that God planted. The gathering of the seeds is tied to God, and He broke it loose, just as He showed Mary Magdalene on the resurrection. He is the one that is going to fulfill the promise, whatever you do, you will prosper. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. What a difference it is when you see a life like Ruth that's planted firmly in the Word of God. I call it a Bible app, but it was just a book. And I'm going to close off today because there's so much parallel here with what Mr. Herring has to say after the service. I actually have to do it just because there's so much good here that I can't keep you that long. I'll give you one application. And that's that in marriage and in the family, when a person is in the Word of God, it begins to show in all the relationships. I cannot guarantee that if you read your Bible and study and do this together as a couple, that it will always be smooth sailing. But I can guarantee that God will bless you and prosper. I can't guarantee that even if you pour your kids' life in and out of a pew every Sunday, that they won't, when they're on their own, maybe step away. At the individual level, we don't do it for that reason. But it will improve your marriage. When a woman hears a husband pray after reading the Scripture that says, love your wife as Christ has loved the church, Ephesians 5, and he says, dear Lord, I really messed up this week. I could do a whole lot better. Make me the man that you want me to be. And she melts. Because instead of trying to blame him and fire him and, you know, get somebody else, she knows that he's trying. And he needs forgiveness just like she does. And she confesses her sins in the same way. And you know, the children stick. That is a promise, even though maybe they have a time of wandering. Train them in the way they should go, and then they will find their way back. As you will hear today, it is at a risky time. Many, many of our children are losing it in this culture. They're losing faith. But we are here to assemble around the Word of God. You will. This is a promise. You will taste and see that God is good. And in your relationship with Christ, as you soak in it, as you savor the flavor, oh, will you find out that your soul is enriched. God be with you to do so. Amen.